Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts is an exciting book. In fact, in chapters 1 through 11, it's amazing to see the momentum of the gospel where the church is started and then it is just running rampant. Then all of a sudden, chapter 12 happens. And it seems like their momentum stops. And we like to see and know that God is in control. In fact, we know Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose. We know that God will work everything out for our good and his glory. But at sometimes we think, okay, he's going to work it out after it's all done, and he just has to pick up the pieces. And is he really in control? I was reading a story of a young boy in a youth orchestra, and he played the oboe. In fact, he was the only one out of a 60-member band that played the oboe. And as he was talking to his band director, thinking of quitting because he said, it's never about me. You just don't get to hear the oboe all the time. It seems like it's back in the back there. It's not the melody that everybody hums. I mean, that everybody knows the song and they can hum it. It seems like the oboe plays the part that supports everything else. Well, the band director talked to him and said, okay, we're playing this one song. And I think it was called The Caliph of Baghdad. He said, in there, you're going to have a part where the oboe plays and it pierces. It's not the main part of the orchestra, but through that one time, it's where your part pierces. He said the band director recorded it, played it for him afterwards, and he said, as I'm listening, because I'm listening for it, I'm looking for it, and I can hear that part in realizing how that helped support and really bring everything up to the front. There are times when God works in our lives where it feels like he's playing the oboe. It seems like things around us are just taking control. And then before we know it, if we're not looking for it, if we're not listening for God, we feel like we know that God is in control of everybody else, but what about me? This is where Acts chapter 12 comes to play. In fact, as we look at Acts chapter 12, we're going to see here when it comes to the matter of God's people, we're going to start off by seeing there's a lack of strength in God's people. And then we're going to see a display of God's strength in God's people. And then we're going to see the source of God's strength in God's people. I hope and pray it's an encouragement to you today as we look at this passage. I want you to look there in chapter 12 and verses 1 through 5, where it says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, or the Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. That's four teams of soldiers that had four members in that team. So there were 16 that were going to be watching him, to keep him, intending after Easter or Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. All right, let's pray. Father, help us as we look into your word. Lord, we know we can say that God is in control, but times in our lives, it just seems like so many pieces, sometimes things fall, and we wonder, how is this going to work out? Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see how you are orchestrating, even in this time, where it seems like it couldn't get any worse, but how you came strong and encouraged your people, and how the gospel and the word grew in this area. Our prayer is always that this place would be a lighthouse of the gospel in this area. But Father, each one of us are a lighthouse. Each one of us has an opportunity to give forth the message of your goodness, of your grace, and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts, work in my heart, this morning. Help me never to forget that no matter what is taking place in this world, you are not surprised. You are not caught off guard, and you are in control. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right here, we see right off the bat the first point here, if you're taking notes, the lack of God's strength in God's people. As you see there in verse 1, we hear Herod. And Herod at the time, it seems like as you study your Bible, you find Herod is all over the place. And you think, the guy's got to be 1,000 years old. All right? It's different Herods. It's a title. Just like Caesar of Rome was named after Julius Caesar, but all the leaders became Caesar. This is what's happening with Herod. In fact, this Herod is a political animal. He's a political animal that his father was killed by his grandfather, and then he was shipped off to be able to be trained by some other family member, coming back in because the political system was in such upheaval that all he was about power. All he was about politics. All he was about moving pieces. In fact, as he worked with the Romans, he did as Romans did, but he was of Jewish descent, but he did not follow anything of God's people. This right here is a time where we see Herod, he comes into a situation where it seems like things are out of control for him. Because this movement of the gospel, of these that were called Christians first in Antioch, and all of a sudden it just seems like things are changing. He comes in and he grabs the leaders of the church and he arrests James and he kills him. And all of a sudden, it seems like the church has just had the wind knocked out of him. In fact, as he kills James, he sees that does well for the leadership of the Jewish people. And because this is going to bring him benefit, he goes, okay. He grabs Peter, throws Peter in prison. And as you read this, what he is planning to do is after the Passover is over, because they can't have any executions during this time. But as soon as it's over, they're going to have a mock trial and they're going to take Peter and they're going to take his life. And it seems like the church right now is, what is going on? It seemed like things were going so well. In fact, James, as he is killed, no doubt his brother John, because James and John were the sons of thunder. They were like the apostolic buccaneers. If your nickname's the son of thunder, I don't think you're a real peaceful guy. And these two were used by God, but James, the one brother of John, was one of the leaders of the church. And as they took him and killed him, no doubt John just couldn't believe it. In fact, even thinking through that, there was one time their mother came to Jesus and said, "Could you give special thrones to my two sons?" And Jesus said, They're going to be doing some things special, but they are going to drink of a cup that is going to be pretty, pretty hard. And all of a sudden, we see this with James. And then also the other leader, Peter, who had preached to thousands and saw the church birthed in Acts chapter 2. He was the one that in Acts chapter 3, where the lame man was at the gate, beautiful, that would look at him and think he's going to get some money. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I unto thee. Take up thy bed and walk." And he sees this guy get saved. And all of a sudden, this momentum that's going on in the church, and Peter is one of the leaders of it. He's taken imprisonment, and he's put in jail. No doubt the church has been thinking, it's been, when it started in Acts chapter 2, and a couple years ago, it seemed like the gospel is being preached, thousands are getting saved. All of a sudden, this new church has started, and it is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, no longer about the law, no longer about what I do, but it's all in Christ. And as that message keeps on propelling, it seems like this river of grace is starting to overflow its banks at times. When Stephen preaches in Acts 7, and he is martyred for that, even through that, all of a sudden the church is continuing to grow.
Philip preaches, and all of a sudden people are getting saved. Then God takes him, puts him in a desert. He preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch. He gets saved, and all of a sudden the gospel starts to go to Africa. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Gentile, he gets saved, and it just seems like the momentum is coming, but then persecution happens. Then this pressure starts to come in, and as the pressure comes in, what's amazing about God's people is that as they flee persecution, they take the gospel with them. But all of a sudden in Acts chapter 12, it seems that all of a sudden the world caught up. And the world said, you know what? Okay, we're gonna stop this train. We're gonna put a stop to this, and all of a sudden they start to lose momentum. All of a sudden, this beleaguered church is overwhelmed and feels helpless. Sometimes as Christians, we face these times where we might feel the same way. Whether we're praying for the healing of somebody who is facing cancer, one of our loved ones, unemployment for others, an inability to find a good job, trying to turn a straying son or daughter back to the Lord, seeking to reverse the tides of evil in our land, abortion, murder, open immorality. It seems like this is just an overflowing tide that comes in. And it seems like, what can we do? And there seems to be a lack of God's strength in God's people. But look there in verse 5. It says there that Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now for us who know the Lord, we know that there's power in prayer. In fact, the word where it says without ceasing, it says they were striving. They were agonizing. They were working at it. It just wasn't, may I pray for you, brother. They were saying, we have got to get down to business and we got to pray for the Lord. But in the world's eyes, nothing looks more weak and passive than just getting together and praying. In fact, there might be some who'll say, you need to rise up and take arms. We gotta fight this way, and we gotta fight in another way. And all of a sudden, God's people come in and they start to take this time of prayer, but to the world, it looks like there is a lack of strength in God's people. It looks like if this is all they can do, how can this change? Maybe you've looked at the news and you look at things and currently in our world and you're thinking, how can this thing turn around? Maybe there's some things that are going on in your own life where you feel like, is God really in control? This chapter right here is a reminder to God's people that even though it seems darkest before dawn, God is in control, God's got a plan, and it's like that oboe that just plays in the background. God's control pierces. As we look at this in the next section in verses 6 through 11, now we're going to start to see the display of God's power. In fact, as you look at verse 6, it says, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept him in the prison. Now, you might look at this and say, I'll tell you what, this is overkill. I mean, when it comes to Peter, is he a dangerous guy? Well, you know he tried to kill a guy, but he only cut his ear off, all right? And Jesus took care of that. And it seems like when it comes to the apostles, we don't see that they were violent. Why would he take 16 soldiers and put them on Peter? And then not only that, but he chains them up. He's got two chains on him. He's got two guards at the door. Why is that taking place? In Acts chapter 5 and verse 19, it's a time where the apostles were taken, put into jail, and it says an angel released them. Opened the doors, got them out. In fact, everybody was going to say, let's go get them. They checked the jail, and they say, they're not there. In fact, you still see the jailer, he's standing there like going, I got him, and there's nobody behind him. And then all of a sudden they tell the leadership, the guys you're looking for, they're back in the temple and they're teaching. So here we know this has taken place, and maybe this is in Herod's mind thinking, you know what, I'm not gonna assume anything. And in fact, maybe the church even looked at this and thought, I'll tell you, how can God do anything here? He's chained with two guys. He's got two guys at the door. How is this going to take place? In fact, the next thing that happens is one of those that just seems like it's, you just don't see it coming. You just didn't think this was going to happen because it's so bad right now. Our leader has been killed. Our second in command, he is right there on the chopping block. It is going to happen to him. It just seems like, and now because of that, now they've got 16 soldiers watching Peter. But Peter's sleeping. Here's a man that is resting in Jesus. He knows that God is in control. No doubt he has probably taken time to share the gospel with those near him, soldiers, religious leaders, political leaders, maybe some other prisoners. But it says he's sleeping, chained up with two guys next to him, and he's sleeping. Then all of a sudden, an angel's going to appear. And when this angel shows up and he comes in, five things happen. First of all, it seems like there is a light glowing from this angel that he shows up. They didn't have lights back then. I know, newsflash. They didn't have those lights. All of a sudden, the light shines. It says he struck Peter. Hey, get up, get up, get up. Then he said, get up. Then his chains fell off. And then no doubt Peter was groggy because the angel then tells him, okay, grab your clothes, put your sandals on, wrap your tunic around you, and we're going to go this way. Look there in verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. What is this saying? Peter thinks he's dreaming. I mean, have you ever had somebody just come in, wake you up, and, you know, there's certain things I think are hilarious. I love to see people get scared, except for me, all right? I like to see, on YouTube, if I can find those who get scared and jump and scream, beautiful. Just makes my day. And in fact, I know this is hard to believe, I do not purposely try to scare my wife. But sometimes I can just walk into a room thinking I've been out enough and she's like, right there. I don't think that's funny. Okay, but other people I think is hilarious. They get kind of shocked and scared like that. The other one that's funny is when people just wake somebody up. Just grab them and say, wake up! And just see them. Because our kids, now that they're married, now that they're adults, they love to tell stories about waking up dad. Oh, dad. Waking you up like, oh, what, what? You know, there's this coming up like this. This is what's happened to Peter. Can you see this in here? That all of a sudden the angel comes up, strikes him, and he's like, what? He goes, need to get up. Chains fall off. Put your shoes on. Can you see Peter? He's walking out. Probably his shoes are on different feet. He's got bedhead on. He's got his tunic kind of hanging around there, and he is just walking with this guy, and he's thinking, I must be sleeping. But look there in verse 8 or verse 10. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. As he went out by the first set of guards, the second set of guards, all of a sudden, the door there, the word there means to automate. It means it just came open by itself. Even though he's groggy, probably he got goosebumps just like, what just happened? He walks one city block, and then all of a sudden, the angel leaves. And when that happens, Peter comes to himself, standing there, waking up, stifling a yawn. The angel's gone, and he is in the middle of the street going, that really happened. That really took place, and you can hear a dog howling in the distance. Here he is in the middle of the night, and what is interesting is during this time, even when Peter was suffering in prison, God was in control. Even when it seemed like this was zero hour, because as you look there in verse 7, or verse 6, it says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, this right here, Passover's over, and he's going to pull him out and he's going to execute him. Even at midnight, at the last minute, at times when it seems like we have no more time, there's no way this is going to solve anything, this is over, all of a sudden God shows he is still in control. And as he uses one of his secret agents to get Peter out, the Roman hordes have barred the doors. They have set up 16 soldiers that are not going to let this guy get out. Herod's already told him, he doesn't move, you keep track of him. All of a sudden, they couldn't keep him because God can do anything at any time. No matter how dark the situation is, no matter how heavy the burden can be, no matter how dark it is for the church, right here, this story is one that they're going to talk about forever. Even today, we have it in our Bible to remind us that God is in control. No matter what happens, no matter what place, God can do anything. And as Peter continues to go there in verse 11, it says at the end of verse 10, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now of a surety, I know that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Do you get the picture that has taken place? Sometimes we take some of these stories, and because they're so long ago and such lofty language, it feels like it isn't real. But God, once again, is showing that no matter the situation, God has shown up and he is taking care of things. But here he's using angels. There were some veteran missionaries to China and Tibet named the Carlsons. And Mrs. Carlson would tell the story of her husband, that as he would go to certain villages in Tibet and these mountainous villages in these paths that were dangerous, that were known for thieves, her husband was never harmed. And she said the stories they would tell is they said he was never touched because there were men of white that always walked with him. The stories of angels. Here we see that God uses one of his angels to come and take care of Peter, but Peter looks at this and he says, he really comes down there in verse 11 where he says this, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, hath delivered me, that God has gotten me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people, the Jews. Here is a display of God's power. Right when it seems like nothing else can take place, it seems like there's no possible way, we can't even think of a way to get out of this jam. Sometimes when we pray, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray and I got a burden, I'm trying to solve a thing, I'm giving God the ideas, right? God, I really need your help, and it would really work out if you did this, this, and this, and go with plan A and plan B. If that doesn't work, get back to me. I can come up with a plan C and D. This would be really helpful. When the whole time God is taking care of a situation because people are praying and God is at work and God is in control, and the display of God's power is going to change everything. The momentum that has gone on, that Herod thinks he is in control, in fact, his power is irresistible. The world would even say, what are you guys doing? You're praying. How is that going to change anything? This power that this political machine has is going to change everything, and your momentum is stopped. This church thing that you're doing is going no further. And all of a sudden, God shows up. And God shows his strength. Even in a time where it seems like there's nothing else you could do, I wrote this down, no matter how grim life may appear, God can deliver us anytime he sees fit. So not only do we see the lack of God's power in God's people in verses 1 through 5. Then these past verses, we see the display of God's power. But I want you now to see the source of God's power in God's people. This part of the story is one of those that, even as we read, it's got to be one of the most humorous stories in the Bible. This right here is when Peter gets out. No doubt, his tunic is disheveled. Maybe at this time he's already gotten his shoes back on the right foot. And even as he's trying to make sure he gets over there, he comes to himself and he says, okay, God just got me out of here. I'm over here. And he's thinking, I know where I need to go. I know exactly where everybody's going to be. Look there in verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. Many have said, even as you study this, would find out Mary, the mother of Mark, was probably a very wealthy woman, probably had a very large house. And even as everybody was gathered there and praying, again, this is in the middle of night. This is midnight. Even as they're praying, and what are they praying about? I know you weren't expecting me to ask you a question right now. What are they praying about? They're praying about Peter to get him out of jail. Maybe some are praying this, Lord, help Peter to have a great testimony and as he faces death and he's about to die, may he face it properly and bring glory to you. Maybe there were some that were praying, Lord, help Peter that while he's in this prison, that he is sharing the gospel with others, that even those that are guarding him and those that have the authority over those guards and even the prisoners around him, that he's sharing forth the gospel. No doubt there were some saying, Lord, you got Daniel out of the lion's den. You were able to rescue David from Saul. Surely you can get Peter out of this prison. And so they're praying. And as they're praying, Peter goes up and he says, okay, this is where I got to go. He goes up, knocks on the door, and then all of a sudden one of those characters that some of us can't wait to meet in heaven appears. In verse 13, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the damsel came to hearken. Her name was Rhoda. Many feel that her name meant Rose. They felt she was young. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. As the knock comes up, no doubt when that knock comes up and they're praying, I imagine it went silent. Because if the atmosphere at the time is they grabbed and killed James, now they have Peter and he's in prison and he's facing execution. They're looking for others. And I wonder when that knock came up, all of a sudden prayer stopped. Rhoda went over there to the door, and Peter said, it's me, Peter. God got me out of prison. Let me in. And she was like, oh, this is incredible. We've been praying about this. And she just leaves, goes back, and tells everybody, Peter's at the door. And as they're going, hey, listen, Rhoda, you're crazy. In fact, you're disturbing us while we're trying to pray for Peter that he'll get out of prison. And she said, no, no, no. And it says she pushed it. And she said, he's there. And they said, you're mad. In fact, maybe it's his spirit. You know what they're saying? He's already dead. This is his ghost. You know, when it comes to the matter of God is in control, God is in control when I suffer. God is in control when it's midnight. And it seemed like all time is lost. And it seems like there's no more time. God doesn't work by our time, and God, he's never late, but sometimes he gets real close, right? But he's never late. But then also we see this, that God is in control even when my faith is weak. They're praying for Peter. The answer to prayer comes, and all of a sudden, God shows that he's in control. I love this story because there are times that my faith, I'm like that one that says, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm praying that you would show up. I just don't know how to solve this. And it seems like everything is going a different way. And God comes in, and he shows he is powerful, and he can answer prayers anytime and anywhere in any situation. And just as that oboe plays in that piece, the control of God pierces. Look there in verse 15, and they said unto her, thou art mad. And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Yeah, that's an understatement. Can you see? He's out there, middle of the night, opens the door, and they're like, it's Peter! And he's like, shh, quiet. Look at the next verse. He signals with hand, keep it down. And then he tells the key to the whole thing. He says there in verse 17, beckoning them with his hand to hold their peace. You got to keep it quiet. Things are happening here. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. That is the phrase you ought to underline right there. Because Peter, as he comes and he gives the message they need to hear, this is how the Lord has brought me out of prison. And in this story here, he says, now go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now, I don't know why he went to another place. Maybe he realizes these guys are too loud and I need to go someplace else. But all of a sudden, this story is going to propel the message of the gospel and the control of God no matter what situation they're in. No doubt this story is going to go to all these other churches and tell, this is how God got Peter out of prison. The Lord did this. When we thought everything was done, when we thought there was no more hope, he was chained by two guards and the chains fell off. He walked right by him. The gate just opened up. And then when he came, and then they started talking about Rhoda. And then he came, knocked on the door. Rhoda, she was so excited, she didn't open the door. I know for some of us, we can't wait to get to heaven to be able to meet some of our heroes. To go up and talk to Moses and go, hey, what was it like? I mean, when you rose that rod up and the Red Sea just parted, what was that like? Maybe we're going to go up to Peter and say, hey, what was it like when you were sleeping. Were you that calm? And then the chains fell off when you saw the angel. I mean, were you really just, you thought it was a dream? But then we'll want to see Rhoda. And can you imagine Rhoda up in heaven? You go up to her, hey, Rhoda, you're Rhoda. And she's like, yeah. That's me. Yeah, and you were so excited. Yeah. That's great. I don't know if that's how Rhoda's going to be, but if for eternity, I know people are going to go up and go, I love this story. I love this story because I do love humorous stories. Shock, right? But I love the fact that even during this time, God shows a sense of humor, even in a very dark time when all of a sudden the tide is about to change. Because as he tells this story and he says, go tell James, go tell everybody else, tell what God has done. All of a sudden, this is going to start strengthening the church. As you look there in verses 18 and 19, it's interesting here because Herod is such a political animal. He is one that murder is just a part of his operational standards. That all of a sudden he's coming in here and he finds out that he's escaped. He finds out the guards, it's their fault. He says there in verse 18, and as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What has become of Peter? When Herod had sought for him, found him not, he examined the keepers, commanded they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. He was embarrassed. I believe he took off to his summer house. And as he got down there, he was getting away because all of a sudden it seems like the tide has changed. When we started this chapter and it says that Herod vexed the church and he killed James, we felt that we know God is in control, but how can he be here? And then we come to this point and realize the whole time God was playing this tune in the background and showing that God is in control. In fact, some final notes here in verses 20 through 23. Herod is now he's got a situation. There's a group of people from Tyre and Sidon that have a dispute with him. In fact, they're trying to get on his good side. They have one of his servants from Herod. They were able to get a connection and say, we just want to have an audience with him. We want to meet with him. And Herod's going to come and Herod dresses up, according to a church historian, Josephus, says almost like it was a silver suit that reflected the sun, that as he came, he gave this speech. And as he gave the speech, because these people were just trying to get on his good side, they're going, oh, this speech is amazing. This is the best I've ever heard. It is the voice, it's the voice of a God, not of man. And as the story goes, Herod takes that glory. And then it says there in verse 22, and the people gave shout, saying, it's the voice of God, not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. That word smote him is the same word that struck Peter in the prison. But this has a different result. Because he gave not glory to God, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Luke is the writer of this book. He is known as a doctor, Dr. Luke. He's a great historian that gives great detail, but also he's a medical doctor that gives forth different details. But even in here, he holds back the detail of exactly what happened, but just the fact he said he was eaten of worms and he gave up the ghost. This right here shows that who was in control. Herod moved some pieces on the chessboard that put the church on its heels, and then the church realized where its power comes from and where its strength comes from, and it comes from God and God alone. In fact, as you look at the last two verses, you would think, okay, these are, did Luke just kind of put these two, just kind of place them in there? But again, it kind of is a great bookend to see how the book, the chapter starts, and here's how it ends. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And all of a sudden, things are about to change once again. You know, there was a small town in Texas. I think it's pronounced Itasca, I think. But before World War II, they had a tragedy that happened in one of their schools. Over 263 people died, many of them children, because when the fire took place, they did not have a water suppression system. They did not have fire hose. The blaze went out of control and just caused a tragedy to that town that they never forgot. After the war was over, they built a new school. They built a school that had the state-of-the-art sprinkler system. In fact, it was the best that they could ever find. And as they got it built, they took their honor students and had the honor students give different people tours of the building to show them this sprinkler system that they had, that now they were ready for what was about ready to take place. If any problem, any fire comes up, we've got it taken care of. 7 years after it was built, they needed to put an extension on. They needed to add to the building. When they started to add to the building and they got to the sprinkler system, they realized this: they never connected it. It was never connected. When it comes to the matter of Acts chapter 12, one thing that comes clear is this, is that when God's people pray, God works. He is in control even when we suffer. Even when it's midnight, even when our faith is weak, God is in control. And one thing I see on this is that just we don't stop praying. We don't stop coming to Him. This church that got together, even when their faith was praying for Peter to be rescued, and even when he was rescued and they said they didn't believe Rhoda, even during that time, God shows Himself strong. But we got to make sure that you and I are connected to the source of our strength. It's not in our great personality, and not in our great ideas, but it's all in the matter of how connected we are to God. One thing we come in Acts chapter 12 is we see this: God is in control. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this story in the book of Acts. That it seems at a time when it starts, It's a very dark time in the church, but by the time it ends, we once again see and hear clearly that God is in control. Sometimes we face problems and challenges, and maybe there's some in here right now, they face burdens that is just hard to carry, and wondering, how can we get this solved, knowing that you are a God who loves, you are a God who gives mercy and grace. But Father, sometimes we just wonder, are you there? We thank you for this story that reminds us that you are in control, even when we suffer, even when it seems like time is at midnight, even when our faith is weak. You are a God who is in control, and you are always a source of our strength. Father, I pray that you would help us, that this would be an encouragement for us as it was the church, that all of us in the story would come realizing no matter what we face, God can do anything, any way, at any time. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there's someone here today that as you're going through a situation and carrying a very heavy burden, one thing you realize is that you're carrying this burden alone because you've yet to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in this story, as we look at this, the one thing that happens is because these people had a relationship with Christ, they could come to him and pray about everything. And maybe there's someone here today that you are carrying a burden all by yourself. I pray you don't leave this place until you come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And if you have questions about this, if you say, I don't have a relationship, I need one, come see me after the service. In fact, you could probably talk to anybody that you're sitting around and say, could you help me on this? And you would be amazed of who would help you. But if you desperately need to know Christ as your Savior, don't leave until you come to know Christ as your Savior. And Christians, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe God's working in your heart realizing there's some heavy burdens that you're carrying, and this right here is once again where you need to come to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for us. Knowing that even when you're suffering, even when it seems like there's no more time, even when it feels like your faith is weak, this right here shows us that God is in control. You need to come to him once again, casting your care upon him.